Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. It's another beautiful, mashallah, Tuesday morning on our program, The Bliss of Marriage. Myself, Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia. Of course, my beloved Fadilatul Ustad is back with us. He's sitting here with me this morning. You know, he's like Burak. I was just telling Hazrat Maulana Salim Karim this morning. 1 minute, Muftisab is here, and the next minute is there. The listeners must be shocked. Yes, Muftisab is sitting right here in front of me, firing from all cylinders. We welcome all the listeners of Sirius FM. Welcome all the listeners of Markaz Sahab on this beautiful Tuesday morning, part 1, 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock, the 10th of Muharram. Ustad, welcome back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. We welcome all the listeners of Sirius FM and the Markaz Sahaba listeners, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, on this Mubarak day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. Remember, it's a very, very blessed day, and each one of us should try and do as many, many good deeds. Many of us are fasting, alhamdulillah. So whatever good deeds we can do, we do not know how many more Ashuras and 10th Muharram we will see. So in that way, inshallah, Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala grant us qabooliyat and acceptance.
Ustad, somebody says, Mufti Saab, my wife is a slob and it is putting me off, totally off, Ustad. How do I tackle this issue without offending her, Ustad?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulihil Kareem, amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First and foremost, we should realize each one of us has certain deficiencies, weaknesses. When you say your wife is so and such, then remember that we need to now tackle it diplomatically. For example, that she's not looking so attractive, she looks untidy. Or for example, when she does something in the house, in the kitchen, then also she will just leave the nappies or whatever there everywhere. Or for example, that her food, she doesn't change, you know, it's like a hostel menu. So there are many, many possibilities, Allah knows. So best thing is what you should do when she's in a good mood. You're in a good mood and you alone, not in front of the children. You discuss those issues and then you write it down. That what are your strong points? What are the weak points? And if you can't do that, just leave notes, you know, that it's good if you do this, it's good if you do that. These are my suggestions. And tell her also to make suggestions. So it's not one-way traffic. So in that way, inshallah. And very, very effective. And today, the Mubarak day of Ashura, 10 Muharram, 1441, dua is very important. Read Surah 25, so verse 74. رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ. O Almighty Allah, Jalla wala, grant us such spouses and children and offspring that are the coolness of the eyes. Read the Asma'ul Husna, the beautiful 99 names of Allah, and read Ya Wadudu, Ya Wadudu, Ya Wadud. Allahumma alif bayna qulubina. Ya Allah, unite our hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, where there are difference of opinion, wa aslih dhata baynina. Bring about reform, piety, goodness within all of us. So that is very, very important. Give out some charity, 1 rand, 5 rand. So Almighty Allah's mercy will descend on you, the husband, wife, parents, children, all of you, inshallah.
Ustad, strictly anonymous, that's what it says here. I am 26 years old, unmarried and a virgin. I am having frequent dreams about intimacy and I would like to stop having them, Mufti Saab. I read my kalimas and ayatul kursi before I sleep, but I still seem to be having them. I also try my best to keep up with all my namaz. What do all these dreams mean and what can I read to stop having these dreams, as I believe this is the work of shaitan to get me off track? Ustad.
My brother, yes, you are 26 years old. I assume that you are a male. So remember, the best thing for you is to get married. Therefore, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed the youth who were 18, 20, 22, 25, your age, Ya ma'ashara shabab, man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj. The hadith in Bukhari Sharif, O you group of youngsters that get married as soon as possible, once you have the means, physical means, financial means, فَإِنَّهُ أَغَدُّ لِلْبَصَرِ, you will lower your gaze and you will وَأَحْسَنُ لِلْفَرْجِ, you will protect and fortify your private part. So it shows, my brother, you need to be getting married as soon as possible. Do not delay, because you must remember, now you are bursting, you know, with energy, with lust and passion and so forth. So far, alhamdulillah, with Allah's fazl and Allah's grace and mercy, you have not been involved really with anybody. So read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem, read the four quls, read Ayatul Kursi, read the last two verses of Surah Baqarah, Amana Rasul, Raital Fansurna Al Qawmil Kafirin. So inshallah, Almighty Allah will assist you. And remember the greatest thing, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, who was the great mufti of this ummah, used to say, hypothetically, if Almighty Allah tells me, in 10 days time, on 20th Muharram, I'll pass away, then yet I will get married with the fear of falling into any fitna. So my brother, that is the easiest way, that you try and keep pure and chaste. Allah make it easy.
Ustad, our very good friend, mashallah, from Ethiopia, brother Yaqub, he says that, Mufti Saab, I didn't know you got another program on Tuesday, this part of the morning. What program is this? Ustad, could you please explain to us, you and Maulana Arafat?
MashaAllah, my brother Yaqub, and you must send out the message to all your contacts in Ethiopia and other parts of Africa and the world. MashaAllah, with Maulana Arafat, Hatia, myself, we have a program called Bliss of Marriage. Many, many people want some guidelines, some advice regarding marriage, their own marriage, their children's marriage. Many people's marriages are on the verge of breaking, so we try and give them advice. What sulhu khair, reconciliation is the best. And we have it on Tuesdays between 11 and 12. Therefore, Mona Arafat announced part one. And on Wednesdays as well, same time, same place. And that is between 11 and 12. So 11 to 12, you keep it, diarize it, and inform the brothers, sisters in your world. And that is Bliss of Marriage on Markaz Sahaba and Sirius FM. On my Tuesdays, part one, between 11 and 12 South African time, and 11 to 12 South African time on Wednesdays, that's part two. So keep on listening, my brother Yaqub. Barakallahu feekum.
Mustafa, anonymous sister wants to know, she says she's married to this man who is a business person. He owns and operates a coffin manufacturing business, only supplying to non-Muslims. The sister wants to know, Ustad, is the income halal? She says it's affecting her marriage. Ustad.
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala in Surah 5, Surah Ma'idah, verse 2, taught us the golden rule and principle. And that is, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Cooperate with one another in piety and righteousness, and do not cooperate with one another in sin and transgression and vices. Let's just look at it from another perspective. You say you are only selling to the non-Muslims. So many a time you'll have to sell a coffin and put a cross or a crucifix. Many a time you'll have to put some other sign of other people's religion and so forth. So therefore, remember, in Islam, that type of business is not permissible, and the income is tainted and polluted. And if your income is tainted and polluted, then what you consume, you eat and drink, that also becomes tainted and polluted. And then the actions that emanate will also be, you will be inclined towards the vices and the evil, Allah forbid. And this is enshrined in the noble Quran. Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala commanded the Anbiya, the messengers, alayhimu salam, kulu min at-tayyibati wa amalu saliha. Consume that which is not only halal but pure and wholesome, and we should aspire for that and try for that. And then the righteous deeds you do, meaning you will be inspired, motivated to do do good deeds. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Always make the dua, it's authentic hadith. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a wa rizqan tayyiba. After Fajr Salat, read this dua, authentic hadith mentioned in Ibn Majah. Oh beloved Allah, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a. Grant me such knowledge that is beneficial, we become an asset to humanity. Wa rizqan tayyiba, such sustenance and rizq and provision that is pure and wholesome. And wa amalam mutaqabbala, such deeds and actions that are accepted in your court, O Almighty Allah Jalla Wala.
Somebody says here, Ustad, assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti Sab. I need an urgent answer. Some misunderstanding had occurred between us and he said that he is living forever. I was so upset. I made istikhara salah last night and I asked Allah to bring him back and make us one once again. What must I do, Mufti Sab? Anonymous sister.
Yes, we don't know what transpired between you and your husband. And anyway, whatever he did, that he went away. And that is, he acted and behaved in an un-Islamic manner. He's not solving the problem. He's running away from the problem. Islam does not teach that. So we don't know that what did he utter, what words he uttered. My best advice to you, that in your town, in your city, you must be having some ulama or some jamiyats or some organizations. So go to them, because in cases like this, to pass a verdict, remember, regarding one party is very difficult. You need both parties to be there, and you need some ulama, 2-3 ulama, to guide you along. And in that way there, they'll give you the various options. So the way you are mentioning it is just a knee-jerk reaction, and it just went away in a rage and fury. And that also, now today is a Mubarak day of Ashura. If you have his contact details and he didn't block you off, so in a case like that, then send him a WhatsApp or SMS, or to contact him by, you know, any way, phone or whatever, you, and tell him that let us discuss this. Today is a Mubarak day of Ashura, and in that way you can get some ulama, some elders involved, who in whom he has confidence in, and in that way, inshallah, the marriage can be saved.
Ustad, somebody says here that Mufti Sab, my question is, we were getting engaged in 5 months' time, and my fiance did istikhara now for our future relation. Now all of a sudden she's got doubt, Ustad. What must I do to take that doubt out of her? I really love her.
Remember that the first thing is that in 5 months' time you're still going to get engaged, and then when you're going to get married next year? So all this is un-Islamic. Remember that this is why you'll have so many problems already, that you'll delay, and now you want to speak on the WhatsApp, you want to contact her by phone, you want to send SMS, you want to do this. So the whole thing now will be un-Islamic. If you want to reconcile, then you, if you are the male, then speak to her father, her brother, and tell them that, you know, let's make the khitbah, and that is the engagement and the nikah all in one, and in that way there all the problems can be obviated and can be removed and eliminated. So that is my advice. Now 5 months you're going to make engagement, thereafter you're going to have nikah, and in the interim so many arguments and problems, and it's haram as well. So therefore, more and more doubts will come, and then she might even call it off and so forth. So speak to her father, speak to her family, and your parents also should speak to them, that let us expedite matters, make it 2-in-1. The cost will also be much less, and that is one function, engagement, nikah, everything. And the same day you can hit the walima also. And that is after 15-20 minutes, you and your wife, you go into privacy, you kiss her, you touch her, and so forth. And thereafter, after one salat, maybe after Zohar or Asr or after Maghrib, you have the walima, whatever is convenient. So all can be done, mashallah, very, very easily.
Ustad, brother Adrian, who's listening to the program this morning, he wants to know, Ustad, I don't know if Ustad could answer, it says that, what are the woman's rights of asking for a divorce in all the religions? Is Islamic law to all the religions for asking for a divorce, Ustad, for a woman's right?
Thank you, my brother Adrian, for your query and question. Secondly is that we are here discussing Islam, but Islam incorporates everything else in this sense because it is the last divine religion, and remember all the other religions and codes are now mansukh, they are abrogated and cancelled. So that is what I mean, that it is incorporating everything of the previous religions in this sense, that remember the good that was there. Now let us go and see that what is Islam telling us. First thing you need to know, brother Adrian, is everything of Islam is natural, but today human beings themselves have become unnatural in certain ways and thoughts and ideas. So if you have true natural understanding, common sense, then you will find Islam is the best, was the best, is the best, will remain the best. And therefore we have to share it with the rest. And this information that we are giving you will bring about a transformation as well. So let us now just give you certain incidents. When there is a nikah, a marriage takes place, the couple are living happily, but now the husband has an eye. He is looking at other women, and then they are flirting, and then they are meeting, and then one thing leads to another. Obviously, in Islam, that lady will be entitled to a divorce. Why? Because in Islam, roti kapra makan, that is the sustenance and the clothing and the shelter, all the basic human rights that we speak about today, all those responsibilities are on the husband, and he, a medical, everything he has to pay for. And the wife has to fulfill the needs and conjugal rights of the husband, and her main aim thereafter will be to take care of the children, and that is tarbiyah, the training, the coaching, and so forth. Second example, this husband, yeah, he was retrenched, or he himself decided that he doesn't want to work, and now he's not giving nafaka. He is not giving the food or shelter or medical and so forth, so on to the wife. So in those cases there, the wife can request or demand a talaq and a divorce. Third example, brother Adrian. We get some husbands, even in Muslim, in the Islamic faith, we know all that is haram and unlawful and not permissible, but we're speaking about the real life situation, that Allah forbid, God forbid, we find that some husbands assault their wives and take out the belt and beat them up. Wife battering, we know about today what's happening of gender violence in South Africa. And all this stems from another reason, and that is they are hooked onto the television. And human nature nowadays is such, what they see, they want to experiment. And then they hit the hell out of the wife and the female. So all these are absolutely haram, unlawful, and she can then, I always tell them, not only demand for divorce, but they must go and lay a charge by the police against that husband, a charge of assault and so forth, because that's a serious and a heinous crime as well. So you can understand in all these cases here, which are happening, so whether it's a Muslim or other faiths and so forth, so there the wife has the right that to say enough is enough, and then she will leave that husband unless we can reconcile them with certain conditions. The ulama, our scholars, get involved. There's agreement between both parties, and then to safeguard that lady for the future, because now the husband is begging the wife and her parents or family that please come back, let's give it another chance. So that's the time that, remember, the wife can say that fine, I will come back and we reconcile, but these are my conditions A, B, C. And one condition is she, the wife who's returning, will have tafwizut talaq, which means that if the husband has an affair in future or assaults her, or he does not want to give nafaka, maintenance and so forth, then she will issue the divorce herself, and then that marriage will be dissolved, and then she will lead her own life, he will lead his own life. So all these options are open to her Islamically.
Ustad, the Bazin would bang want to know, are you fasting today for Ashura?
Alhamdulillah, we're fasting. We mustn't advertise to everybody, but now you're asking. So mashallah, my timetable was very, very long day in Durban. And all my Allah reward all of them.
Ameen,
and mashallah, that after say suhoor, we woke up at past 3, and then suhoor and tahajjud, and then we had a program with Mawlana Arafat, and Brother Junaid Khan, and Brother Riyaz Hussain, went to the Amslanga Masjid, we had program there, and then my brother Hafiz Suhail, Haji Muhammad Ikhlas, all of them were there to meet me, and then we went to the airport, and mashallah, 8 o'clock was the flight, and SAA is very prompt, I must say, and very, very much on time from Durban to Johannesburg. From Johannesburg, I noticed sometime that they delay, but Durban is on time 99% of the time. Well done, SAA. And then I came, and mashallah, we back here in Lens, and I said, by 10:30, I must be here, back home, and then we freshen up, and 11 o'clock back in the studio with Mawlana Arafat, and that is how our life is. Allah Ta'ala make it easy, my brothers, sisters in Witbank.
Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Takbir. We have to answer this question. The sister says, my son-in-law, he's got a daughter who is 11 years old. It's a lengthy question. And of course, the mother says, it's a concerned mother, Mufti Saab. And my son-in-law, who is a Shia, he wants now to come out of Shiaism, Ustad, because he's receiving threatening calls. Now, what's the procedure to go about? I think he heard about Muta, about his daughter, so now he wants to come out of Shiaism. What should he do? Should he fill in papers? Should he denounce it that he's no more? He's part of us or not, Ustad? A concerned mother.
Yeah, there are 3-4 different issues. You, the parents, if you gave your daughter to a Shia, and that time you knew he's a Shia, then you must remember you, the parents, are more guilty and committed the worst crime compared to your daughter. She's naive, what she knows. So remember, that's a heinous crime, and make sincere tawbah. I assume and presume that you did not know, because the Shias, they have very sweet tongues, and they will speak this way, that way. But then she got married, and now he realized that the Shiaism is not a religion. Remember, it is false, it is batil. The only people in the world that allow prostitution and try and give it an Islamic title of muta. And remember, Khomeini, la'anahullah, writes in his book, which we have, Tawdihul Masail, that you can make muta, prostitution, for 1 hour. And lying, according to them, the Shias, la'anahumullah, is not only permissible but recommended. And they call it taqiyya, holy hypocrisy. So therefore, we need to expose all these things of this batil and this falsehood, which we were doing now in our Durban tour in various venues, because Muharram is their main season to try and work on the sympathy of people, and then they cry and put on a big act, you know. But Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu cursed them. Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu's daughter, Sayyida Fatima al-Sughra, Sayyida Fatima al-Kubra is the mother, and Sayyida Fatima al-Sughra, the daughter of Sayyidina Hussein, cursed them, and they admitted to her, قَتَلْنَا عَلِيًّا وَبَنِي عَلِيِّ بِسُيُوفٍ هِنْدِيَّةٍ وَرِمَاحِ. Yes, we murdered, Allah forbid, Allah forbid. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu and Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, Allah forbid, with the swords and the spears made in India. Then Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu's son, Hazrat Zainul Abidin, he cursed them, and he told them, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam will inform them, فَلَسْتُمْ مِنْ أُمَّتِي, you don't belong to this ummah. All this mentioned in their reliable books, and it is mentioned in Ihtijaj by Tabrasi, it is mentioned in the book called Irshad by Mufid. So I'm giving you their references. So you, my brother, if really you are prepared to make tawbah, you must make public statements in public places that these people, Shias, are non-Muslims. Khomeini and company got nothing to do with Islam, and Allah's curse is upon them. And you have to say that they are non-Muslim publicly, and that is how, and make tawbah, and remember that you have to perform a new nikah, and so forth. And then you must still be monitored, because many Shias, they will tell you they're making tawbah, but remember, remember that also is part of their tactic of taqiyya, and where they are speaking with a forked tongue. Like you see, the Jews would come, Allah forbid, Allah forbid. And the Quran Sharif speaks of this. And remember, the Quran Sharif tells us, when the Jews used to come to Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then they used to make salam. The Muslims say, assalamu alaikum. But the Jews used to come and they say, assalamu alaikum. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. See how they would speak with their crooked tongue and their false, you know, message. They say, assalamu alaikum, Allah forbid, which means death upon you. So they were wishing death against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Almighty Allah exposed them in a noble Quran. وَإِذَا جَاءُوكَ حَيَّوكَ بِمَا لَمْ يُحَيِّكَ بِهِ اللَّهِ. So they greet you, O Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but not in a manner that Almighty Allah greets you. And remember, in their hearts they say, وَيَقُولُونَ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ لَوْلَا يُعَذِّبُنَ اللَّهِ. Why is Allah not punishing us? We are saying all these words. So this is the truth. Message of the Jews, the Shias, they all are one. So Almighty Allah teaches us in Surah Mujadala, chapter 58, verse number 8. So Surah 58, verse number 8, that people who speak with a forked tongue. So you need to be very, very careful. And remember, if you're going to get your daughter back married to him, because now they're living in sin, and the children will also be haramis. When you get your daughter married to, remember, a Shia, or your daughter marries him, then those children, remember, you cannot marry your daughter to any non-Muslim, and Shia is a non-Muslim. We need to be clear on this issue.
Allahu Akbar. Ustad, the anonymous mother says that you think it's a good idea by him publicly announcing, won't he get hurt? Won't people hit him, Ustad?
Nobody will hit him if he's sincere and he says he's making tawbah and he says that these people are non-Muslims. And for Islam, we must be prepared to make the greatest sacrifice, because this is not matter of a matric exam or university exam. This is a matter of perpetual success or perpetual disaster. It's a matter of iman and kufr. So therefore, we need to be very clear on these issues.
Ustaz, let us go to UK. Somebody wants to know, can I keep family ties with homosexual and those who are living in zina in my family, Ustaz?
You must sever all ties with them and tell them that they are busy in all these haram activities of fornication, adultery, homosexuality. You don't hate them, but you hate their deeds and actions, and they feel they are very, very broad-minded by doing all these haram actions. So tell them, we like you, but we love Almighty Allah. We like you, but we love Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Deenul Islam more. So therefore, we're going to sever ties with you. Al-hubbu lillah wal-bughzu lillah. We love for the pleasure of Almighty Allah, and we hate also for the pleasure of Almighty Allah.
Subhanallah. Ustada, it's 29 minutes to 12. We're going to go for one more question. Thereafter, inshallah, we're going to go for an interval, inshallah. Somebody wants to know, can we get married in this month of Muharram? And of course, in the month of Safar, Ustada.
Remember, to get married during the month of Safar, month of Muharram, Safar, Ramadan, all these months is totally permissible. And what people read in that Lal book of theirs, that red book and real Lal Kitab from India or wherever, so all these are fairy tales that say you can't marry in Muharram or you can't marry in Safar because these are months of, you understand, suffering and unlucky and so forth. Islam came to demolish and abolish this type of notions and this type of concepts and ideas. Secondly, you must remember during Ramadan, Sayyidah Fatima radiallahu anha's nikah took place with Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anha in the second year of the Hijrah during Ramadan after the Battle of Badr. So it shows Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not want people to have bad luck, things, superstitious beliefs. The Master was, is, will always be Rahmatul lil Alameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to eradicate and eliminate all this type of batil and false beliefs.
Just one more question, Ustad. The listener wants this question to be posed before they go away. It says, dear respected Mufti Saab, I have a constant fear of doing something wrong. I have committed zina before. I have been for Hajj and have asked for forgiveness for all my sins. I am a female and every night before I sleep, I just keep on saying, Ya Allah, please forgive me till I fall asleep. The past 7 days, I have been reciting it more and more with a lot of tears till I fall asleep. I wake up in the morning having dreamt of my sins again. Please help me and guide me. Move this up.
First and foremost, my sister, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never lose hope and never become despondent, disillusioned in the mercy of Almighty Allah. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. We all make mistakes. We all commit sins. Somebody commit major sins. Someone commit the worst of crimes. But sins we all commit. So what must you do? First thing, always remain positive with Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. This what you are doing, you crying, begging, beseeching Allah for the crime you committed. Remember, that is a sign that your tawbah is being accepted. How do we know our tawbah is accepted? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha. Ay iman walo, O you who believe, turn to Almighty Allah in repentance. Such a repentance that is tawbatan nasuha. Somebody went to Sayyidina Umar Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu warda and said, what is the tawbatan nasuha? The nasuha, I don't understand. He said, you take a she-camel, you take a cow, and you extract the milk from the udders of that animal. Then what do you see? The milk never goes back. Never go back to that life of zina, fornication, adultery. And that will be a sign, my sister, that Almighty Allah has accepted your tawbah. So that is how we work. So what you are doing is correct. And remember, the shaitan is trying to play mind games with you. You keep on thinking of it. Whenever the negativity comes, read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajim. Ya Allah, I seek your protection from the Satan, the accursed, and all his agents.
26 minutes to 12, we go inshallah for a quick ad break. When we get back inshallah, we will continue with the bliss of marriage. Don't go away, stay tuned.
Shukran Ya Rabbi, Shukran Allah.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
22 minutes to 12. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning, the 10th of Muharram, 1441. Of course, listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Haji Yusuf Asmal and company, and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. 084-786-3132. Ustad, my husband says he will give me 15,000 rand or an Umrah trip for Mahar. Mufti Sahab, which one should I choose, Mufti Sahab? I want both, but it's difficult for me to choose. Gee.
Okay, I know many of our listeners, all these programs we do, whether it's Q&A or Bliss of Marriage or Mohan Arafat's other programs, that Safina, Il Jannah and all, you all want podcast, so inshallah, our brother Tobela is here, the engineer, the technician. So after this program, just give some time and inshallah the podcast will be ready. He'll send it out to us and then it will be on our website also. Remember that if you want to visit our website, then it is www.markazsahaba.com. And if you want to visit my website, then www.muftiakhoosen.net. And inshallah, you will find all this whole tour of ours to Durban, Pietermaritzburg. All the details are there. And this Bliss of Marriage, we'll finish up part one today. Brother Yaqub there in Ethiopia by 12 o'clock. And then tomorrow will be part two. So the podcast will be ready today sometime. And in half an hour, 1 hour, our brother Tobela is very efficient. So in that way, that's why I made this announcement. Okay, what is happening is this. This is the actual question. This lady is getting married now in Muharram or maybe in Safar. Now she realizes that she wants Mahar-e-Fatimi. And what happens is the current Mahar-e-Fatimi is, Mahar means, for those of you who are not aware, some non-Muslims or whoever, that it is the marital gift that the husband gives his wife on the occasion of the nikah, the marriage ceremony. So if you look at the Mahar-e-Fatimi now, so this is sunnah and good, what Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave, is honorable spouses and wives is $1,000, just to give you an understanding, right? So this wife, and she must calculate and determine and request that this is what she wants. She's making all the sacrifice. She's leaving her parents' home. She's leaving the place of her birth, leaving her siblings to spend the remainder of her life with her husband. So therefore, we take all these factors into consideration and say that she should be given something, which is compulsory, that something, the amount can be in cash or kind and negotiable. So she says, okay, 15,000 rand. And when she looks at the different adverts, so now the going price plus minus is 15,000 rand. So which one should you do? Remember that if you've been for Umrah or for Hajj and so forth already, then take the 15,000 rand cash. If you never been, my sister, and this person here, he is 100%, you want to marry him, you are happy, your parents are happy, then tell him, fine, that you will marry him, but he must start everything now. And that is because I know of many, many several cases where the husband told his wife, darling, honey, I'll take you for Umrah, then next month, then 6 months, then 1 year, and then she never went at all. So tell him you want some concrete proof that the bookings are done, everything. When are you going? In September, in October, November, Muharram, Safar, Rabiul Awwal. So in that way there, so you know your mahar will also be paid to you. And if he doesn't take you for Umrah, then you can demand the 15,000 in cash if he doesn't take you for Umrah. So these are all the options available to you. You can exercise whichever option you want.
Ustad Anonymous says that, salams, respected Mufti Sab, my sister-in-law is very close to my husband's ex-wife, so she gives her every detail of our marriage. Can I keep my distance from her, Ustad?
Yes, you must keep your distance from her. Any person who you know is going to betray you, or they are hypocrites in front of you, they speak sweetly, behind the back they try and stab you, or for example, they want to disgrace you, they have hidden agenda, ulterior motives. So you, first thing you need to do is curtail ties, keep a distance. When you see them, make salam, how are you, and carry on. Don't engage them, don't let them engage you. Second is, read these three verses of the Noble Quran. These are verses every day we should read, because there are so many people, governments, organizations that suffer from Islamophobia and they want to harm the Muslims in various parts of the world. Then within our own rank and file, we have the hypocrites and munafiqeen who want to harm us. So read Surah 40, verse number 44. وَأُفَوِّدُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Oh, beloved Allah, I'm handing over all my affairs and matters to you. You take care of it. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Verily, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is all observing over the servants. Look at the guarantee Allah is giving us. Surah 40, verse 45. And that is, remember that, Ya Allah, that Allah is saying, He will protect you. فَوَقَاهُ اللَّهُ سَيَّاتِ مَا مَكَرُوا. The people who are plotting and planning, scheming, Allah will take care of them and you will be saved. Second one, Surah 29, verse 30. Chapter 29, verse 30. Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam was the Nabi, and in his surroundings was Sodom and Gomorrah, the people who committed sodomy, homosexuality. He cried, he begged, he beseeched Allah. Chapter 29, verse 30, Rabbin surni ala al-qawm al-mufsideen. Ya Allah, you assist me and help me against the people who are the mischief makers, the gay brigade. Almighty Allah instructed Jibreel alayhi salam, pick up that piece of land and smash it to the earth. فَجَعَلْنَا عَلِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا. This is what we see, that the altitude in occupied Palestine, where Al-Bahrul Mayyid, the Dead Sea is the lowest in the entire world. Imagine, the remnants and relics are still there for humanity to see. The Dead Sea. So the land is telling us a story. The water is telling us a story. Nothing can survive there. In the Bahrul Mayyid, the Dead Sea. Third verse you must read, because remember, this brings about a lot of worry, anxiety, sorry. Surah 21 verse 87, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. Almighty Allah informed Nabi Yunus alayhi salam, he was swallowed by the fish and remained in the belly of the fish. So wanajjaynahu min al-gham, we rescued him. We saved him from the worry, sorry, anxiety. وَكَذَٰلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Similarly, we will save you and rescue you, O believers. So look at these wonderful verses. Surah chapter 40 verse 44, Surah 29 verse 30, chapter 21, Surah 21 verse 87. Read it abundantly and Almighty Allah will protect you from these mischievous people.
Somebody says, Ustad, I think this message came again. He says, I would like to know if the incident when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put the bread in the fire and it didn't bake, because anything Nabi touched doesn't burn in this world and akhirah. Is this incident authentic, Ustad?
Yes, it is written. I told you, you must look at the book called Al-Khasaisul Kubra, the big miracles of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you will find many things. And if you open Mishkat Sharif, you might not find this incident, but you will find a whole chapter, Mu'jizatun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the miracles of Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there are books written like this on this topic.
0847863132, that's our WhatsApp number. Somebody wants to know, Ustad, the difference between khula and fasakh, Ustad.
When a marriage now is on the rocks, we will always give advice that try and reconcile, and more so if there are ma'soom, innocent children involved. But sometimes the couple, husband, wife, just feel that they cannot continue, they're not compatible, or too much, you know, sourness, and so too much problems have occurred, and so forth. So Islam gives these three options. Either the husband gives talaq verbally or in writing. So talaq means a divorce. He, the husband, does not receive anything in exchange for the divorce. So that is called talaq. The second one is khula. Khula is also mentioned in the Quran. فَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْهِ مَا فِي مَفْتَدَتْ بِهِ. So yeah, the wife is the guilty party. And in that case there, when you go see the wife, she don't want to perform salat. She don't want to wear modest clothes. She doesn't want to listen to the husband. She just takes the keys of the cars and says that I'm going here and there and what have you. So she wants to lead her own independent life because she is financially secure. All these problems are come emerging nowadays. So in a case like that, she says, fine, I'm fed up, she'll tell the husband, and now I'm prepared to make khula. So khula means the opposite of libas. Marriage is called libas. Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. When you are married, you have the body heat of your wife, the body heat of your husband. You embrace one another, you support one another. Duk and suk, you are partners in occasions of happiness. You are partners in occasions of adversity, calamity. That is marriage. So that is libas, the clothing. Now she wants to remove that. So you call it khula. So she has to pay something. For example, just now we had the question, 15,000 rand. So you tell her, fine, that pay back that marital gift. Both parties reach an agreement. The husband will issue the talaq, the divorce, and that is called khula. But the difference is, here he's receiving compensation, ransom from his wife, because she is the guilty party. So that is the difference between talaq and khula. Then you have the husband is the guilty party. He is flirting, he is having affairs, he is busy with the porn sites, and he doesn't want to listen, and lot of ara, he don't want to give nafaka, maintenance. Then you go in a Muslim country to the court. The lady, her parents will go and they will apply for annulment. In our non-Muslim countries, South Africa and most parts of Africa, and we see most parts of the world now. So there's no Muslim courts and so forth in the non-Muslim country. So you have a tribunal, and the tribunal, we always will say, you should never go to one alim or one imam or one sheikh or whatever. Remember, that can cause huge problems. There should be a panel of ulama, 2, 3, 4, and then they will sit there, and remember, both parties must be there. the husband and the wife. When they are convinced, after investigating, interrogating, the husband is really the guilty party, but he's stubborn and obstinate, he doesn't want to give talaq, then they, that is the group of ulama, 2, 3, 4 on the panel, then they make mashura, they reach consensus, and then they will make fasakh, annul that marriage, and that is how that wife will get the freedom, because she is the innocent party, and the husband is the guilty party. So yeah, the big thing is both parties must be present, the husband and wife, and you must not go to one person only. Remember, many times this creates problems. So go to a group of ulama, and in that way there, they can, you know, 2 brains, 3 brains are better than 1. And in that way, nobody can accuse that alim or maulana or mufti or whoever of favoritism and biasness. So it is in his interest as well. So this is how Islam teaches us. If you really want to finish up the marriage, but again I reiterate, we always will start on this premise, was sulhu khair, reconciliation is the best.
Somebody's asked, Ustad, is lal kitab, it says here, is lal kitab the best is ever, Ustad?
No, best is ever is written by Hazrat Mohd Tanvi rahmatullahi. He was a great alim and scholar. So remember that kitab has been translated in many, many languages. Lal kitab is kitab that people just wrote all fairy tales, fabrications and so forth. So remember that best is ever is based on the Hanafi fiqh and so forth. So that kitab got nothing to do with lal kitab. Lal kitab is people just wrote down things that are not authentic, and then they just say it's part and parcel of Islam based on their customs and tradition and riwaj and rasam. Riwaj and rasam are Urdu words that you use for customs and traditions.
Ustaz, somebody says here, Assalamu alaikum, Hazrat, please bear in mind I'm not after any references if time is of the essence and short answer will suffice. Please also know this question is of sensitive nature, but Islam encourages to ask if we do not know, Ustad. My question is, Mufti Sahab, if a father touches his daughter or looks at her with lustful gazes, is his nikah with his wife terminated unconditionally, Ustad?
Remember that in Islam we have what we call hurmat musaharat. I married my wife, and Mawlana Arafat married his wife. So our mother-in-law becomes haram upon us. Our daughter becomes haram upon us. So that is what is meant by hurmat and musaharat. The word is used in the noble Quran, Surah 25, verse 54. Wa huwa alladhi khalaqa min al-ma'i bashara. Almighty Allah created you from the semen and sperm. Faja'alahu nasaba. He gave you a nasab. You see, Mawlana Arafat's father's name, Ibrahim, hafizahullah. My father's name, Ismail, rahimahullah. He passed away, my mother passed away. So Allah grant them all Jannatul Firdaus. So Allah says, فَجَعَلَهُ نَسَبًا وَسِحْرًا. Sihra means your father-in-law, mother-in-law. So now the question arises, in marriage we all agree it. But if it is in a haram way, that there's no marriage, the father touches his daughter. Oh, you must remember, the father-in-law has an affair with his daughter-in-law. Or the son-in-law has an affair and touches with lust and passion and all that, his mother-in-law, then according to the Hanafis, remember that nikah will be broken. Now let's take this as a case study. You have a father, obviously, that remember that the girl will be there in the home. Many a time she will be alone. She's naive, she's nadan, trusting her father. Her father watching all the porn, watching the TV, all the Hollywood, Bollywood, Shaitanhood, Robin Hood. Now he is excited. He sees this young daughter of his growing up and getting baligh and so forth. So now he starts touching her with lust and passion and desires and touching her bosom, touching here and there. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. So according to Hanafis, remember that nikah of that father to that mother to his wife. I mean, I'm speaking of the girl's father and mother. So remember that nikah is broken, and it is broken to such an extent is hurmat-e-musahara, and they can never ever reconcile. So it's a serious, serious crime if what you said is true, and we need to understand the consequences, ramifications. Three reasons why all this happened. Number one is this. Today's world, we are overawed and bombarded by the Western media, and what they do, what they say, our people now suffer from the inferiority complex. And what is that? The inferiority complex is that they say the West is the best and white is right. Islam rejects that totally. Yeah, we had apartheid. What was right about that? So remember that, number one. Number two is we ourselves have removed the haya and shame in our homes. That look at how the women dress, look at how the men dress, look at how the laws of parda are discarded. We, the parents, discourage our daughters to wear parda and so forth. So we invite the immorality, immodesty, and when we do that, these are the ramifications and consequences. And third one, remember that in Islam, when you get married, then the nikah is performed, the khutbah is recited, the sermon, everything to do with taqwa and piety, and that is eroded nowadays, and therefore people do all these haram activities, Allah forbid. If what you spoke is the truth, that your father touched you, and with lust and desires, yeah, on your bosom, and yeah, and there, and everywhere, and it was with lust and desires, and so forth, then remember his nikah to his wife, your father and mother's nikah is now broken. This is according to the Hanafi school. The other schools say the nikah is not well broken, but remember that he must be punished severely, severely, and reprimanded for committing this heinous crime. So we need to understand what Islam and the Sharia says regarding these type of issues. We cannot be pushing everything under the carpet. Allah protect us.
Ustad, must mehr be mentioned when nikah is performed, Ustad?
Remember, it is good to let the mahar be mentioned when the nikah is performed. However, if they do not mention it, then the nikah is still valid. Or if you go to Cape Town or many Arab countries and so forth, so you will find many a time the sheikh, the imam will say that alama yatarada bihi azzawjan, that whatever the two parties agree on, that husband and wife have agreed, but they don't want to make it public and divulge it to them. So that also is fine. So the girl's father is there. He knows what they are talking about and so forth. So all that would be permissible and acceptable.
Ustad, final question quickly. Somebody says, please advise, every time my husband argues with me, I take any tablets that are in front. I did it twice already, Mufti Saab.
That's totally haram, sister. Always know escapism is not the solution. Running away from the problem is never the solution. We have to face the problem, look for the options that are available and permissible in Islam, and then exercise. Imagine you commit suicide. What are you going to do? خَالِدًا مُخَلَّدًا فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Used to stay in Jahannam forever and ever, meaning a very, very long time, if the person passed away with Iman and Islam. So that option is a no-brainer, no option as far as Islam goes. Jazakallah khair to Mohan Rafat, our brother Tobela, and you will find it, inshallah, the podcast very soon. Next up, we have our brother Yusuf Ali with the news, inshallah. And thereafter, we have our brother Alfred, and he will give you the current news going on in South Africa, Africa and the world. And 5 past 1, inshallah, 12 past 1 will be my tafsir of the Noble Quran, Surah Wan-Nazi'at. We start with verse number 15 of Surah Wan-Nazi'at, and then inshallah we will continue with Surah Kahf and verse number 32, inshallah, between 1:30 and 2. And thereafter, inshallah, Sheikh Zakaria with the mercy of Almighty Allah from 2 to 3. And thereafter, 3 to 5:30, inshallah, our brother Yusuf Ali with the afternoon program. And then we work with the Maghrib time of Durban. Mawla Khalid will take over, inshallah, to 7 o'clock. And thereafter, 7 to 7:30 will be Hazrat Mawla Yunus Patel, rahimahullah. And then the repeat of my tafsir, 7:30 to 8. And 8 to 9, inshallah, Mawla Bilal Katrada with Tech Talk regarding the latest technology. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Up next is the 12 o'clock news with Haji Yusuf Ali.